Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
How many of you have ever been to IKEA? I excited like all the women, but all the guys are like, "Rrr." When it comes to IKEA, the guys, the dudes know, like, hey, there's more to going to IKEA than actually just going, right? As you're walking around IKEA, it's this massive store, and it's in Vancouver. There's one or Coquitlam and one in Richmond, and as you're walking around, you're like, "Oh, that's really nice. That's really nice." And you just tell your significant other is thinking, "Oh, I'd like to get that, and that." And as you start really looking at something, you're thinking, "Okay, how big's the box, right? Am I right? And how hard will this be to put together?" I've been there, and I remember we wanted this canopy bed for my daughter, and it was really cool, and it has mesh, and it has tons of different like intricacies and tons of different things on this bed that made it look really cool in the store. And when I opened it up at home, I just about cried because I knew that this was going to be really difficult to put together. Even following instructions, you don't see the arrows pointing down or pointing up. So you notice when things are together, it's like, okay, it's not supposed to be like that. I made a mistake. And after a lot of trial and error and putting things back together, it was finally done. And what happens when you're done? What happens when you're done? You throw out the extra parts or you throw away the instructions, right? So after we bought this, we were living in Vernon at the time. A few months later, God called us to Comox. Yeah, so I remember when I was here, Kim and my dad and a few people were taking apart the house, and then when all our stuff got here we are, we're trying to put together this bed, and it just didn't work because we didn't have instructions, we lost parts on the way, all those kind of things. Instructions are important, right? Because instructions, rules are there for us to help us succeed in life, am I right? Okay, let's get some energy going here. Am I right? All right, you guys are with me. You know what? It's 2020, all right? It's 2020. It's the second service. It's the second Sunday of 2020. Who's excited about that? All right, you guys are with me. All right. Now, we've got a great church. We've got some great people, and we've got a great leadership council that have the best things in mind for our church. And I believe even through prayer and through times with God that I think great things are in store for our church in 2020. And I really encourage you as the church that we need to be praying earnestly for our church and for wisdom and that God just wants to do a good work through our church in through our people, and I am excited for what God has in store for our church and for our youth ministry with all the shirts. Please support our cause, and I would love to see everybody wear an Elevate shirt. It would just really energize. It would energize our youth and say, "Oh man, they love our youth. They love us." And it'd be a really cool thing. So, talking about rules, what is the most important rule or commandment in your house? What is the most important rule commandment in your house?
Mom is always right.
Mom is always right. That's a good one. Okay. Anybody else?
Be kind.
Be kind. Hey, that's a good one. I've heard that before.
No shoes in the house.
No shoes in the house. Okay. Watch out. If you go to her house, make sure you take your shoes off. Okay, that's good.
Love.
What?
Love.
Love. Did you look at my sermon today? No, okay. Anybody else? Yeah, don't forget. Hey, that's good. Hey, the chores, right? As I was talking to my wife about these kind of like, what are the most important rules when we were growing up? She grew up in Victoria. I grew up in this little place you've never heard of called Malakwa, and our rules were different. Her rule would be like, hey, curfew, right? Because there's actually stuff to do in Victoria, right? There wasn't stuff to do where I grew up, so my parents knew, hey. He's good. He's not going to, you know, get into trouble or mischief or, but our rule was an unwritten rule, and our unwritten rule was be good to mom, be good to mom. Who's with me there? Be good to mom, Jacob. Two hands up. Be good to mom and be good at church. You know, church was always an important one, and I would many times get kicked out of our kids' church because I was the highly extroverted kid who liked a lot of attention and was joking around all the time. But even though I was a pastor's kid, our teachers didn't care. They're just like, okay, upstairs, and then I would definitely hear about it at home. So, and now I work with kids and youth and stuff like that. So, God's got a sense of humor. You know, our CPC family value states that we are committed to radically loving God and radically loving others. And my message is about the two greatest commandments, loving God and loving people. In our heart as a church is that we would actually love others. Do I hear amen?
Amen.
And some of you here, I think, are kind of cringing at your seat because maybe you struggle with that, and maybe, like, you know, maybe you're introverted and you have a hard time maybe talking with others. But that you would love not just others in our church, but that you would love others in our community. And today we're going to be discovering these two greatest commandments through context and what true community looks like and how this applies to our lives. Rick Warren states that the purpose of your time on earth is not primarily about acquiring possessions, attaining status, achieving success, or even experiencing happiness. Those are secondary issues. Life is all about love. Okay, this is key. Life is all about love and developing relationships with God and with people. You may succeed in many areas, but if you fail to learn how to love God and love others, you'll have missed the reason God created and placed you on this planet. Learning to love is life's most important lesson. Jesus even called it the greatest commandment. Nothing else comes in importance. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this church, Lord. We thank you for this message that you placed on my heart. We thank you that this is one of CPC's family values. And Lord, that we would take this to heart, that this wouldn't just go in one ear and go out the other, but this will be something that we will apply in our life. And Lord, that you'd open up our heart today, Lord. And even if there's areas that we need to be strengthened in, Lord, that you would show us those things. Amen. Let's read some from the Bible. You guys want to do that? All right. You guys are with me. Mark chapter 12, 28 to 34. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." The teacher of religious law replied, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other, and I know it is important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law. Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. So why do you think our first family value would be about loving God and loving others? Hans, why do you think this would be our first family value? That's right. It's important, right? And when Jesus is asked what the greatest commandment, he quotes two passages from the Old Testament, one in Deuteronomy and the other in Leviticus. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." Leviticus says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Deuteronomy 6:4-5 is a confession of faith that's recited by pious Jews every morning and every evening. That God is to be loved with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, because He and He alone is God. Because God totally loves His people, and He expects people to give themselves totally, heart, soul, mind, and strength in love to Him. And Jesus brought Leviticus 19:18 into it as well. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Together with Deuteronomy 6:5, to show that a love of a neighbor is a natural progression of our relationship with God, our ongoing relationship with God, and that these two commandments actually belong together. And they cannot be separated, right? Just like Batman and Robin and peanut butter and jam and Frodo and Sam, right? You might disagree with some of those, but whatever. Even though Jesus was asked what the most important commandment was, what was his reply was two answers. So who's our neighbor? Who's our neighbor? Everyone, right? It's not just those people that live beside us in our house. Our neighbor is those individuals at our home. That's the most important relationship besides God, that we would love those in our home. Those we meet at work. Those we meet in our church, and we'll be talking about that thoroughly later. Those in our recreational activities. Those, our employer, our boss. Our employee is our neighbor. The homeless. The refs we may not always agree with. Those in distress on the side of the road. Those people that can be really difficult and hard to be around. Can I have a show of hands if you're one of those? No, I'm just kidding. Come on. No, you're not. We'll pray for that later, okay? You're not. No, you're super encouraging. I'm not going to lie. Some people can be really difficult to be around, but what does it say? We're still called to love. Right? It doesn't mean that every time we see them, we give them a big fat hug and like high fives and hey, let's hang out like every day. But we're still called to love. Neighbors are anybody we have dealings with. Here's a question for you. What would actually happen? How would your life transform if you actually loved your neighbors as yourself? How would things change in your life, in your family, at work, if you actually loved your neighbors as yourself? How could that look for our church? We have a lot of empty seats this morning. I'm pretty sure it's probably because of snow, because people are in Panama, you know, stuff like that. I would like to think that if we loved our neighbors as ourselves, that this place would be packed. I don't hear an amen here.
Amen.
How would this affect our home? How would this affect our kids? As we talk on loving neighbors, this happens through relationship. Learn what others like. Learn what their hobbies are. Do they have kids? Do they have a wife? Do they have goals? Do they have a husband? Do they have fears? Have they ever thought about faith before? Did you know that God has designed us to be in relationship with Him and relationship with others? He's given us the tools to succeed in this. And there's no way we can have fellowship with ourselves. Sounds weird, doesn't it? We need and should have others around us. It's not that we should just have friends in that, but it's actually commanded of us. We have a great example of what true relationships look like from Jesus. He modeled true relationship with disciples. He loved everyone. He spent time with the unlovable. This is a great reminder for us, right? Some of my favorite stories in the Bible, favorite scripture is Jesus spending time with guys like Zacchaeus, and he's like, hey, I'm going to go over to your house. Let's go over to your house. Jesus is just so cool, right? Does things different. I'm going to go over to your house. Let's go have steak together. You know, like, let's have some good food together. He also modeled how he loved his Father extremely well. And this is something I want to work on more in 2020. Our youth are currently in a 4-week series about adventures with God. And this Wednesday I talked on spending time with God. And how does that look? And where do you do it? And when do we do it? When do we spend time with God? How does it look? And I shared 4 examples of Jesus spending time with his Father in the morning. Like, how would our life change if we spent time with God in the morning, right? It would help us throughout the day, wouldn't it? You know, well, one other thing is, before our daughter goes to bed, you know, we pray that God would put good dreams, that God would protect her mind and her heart. At night, in mourning, when we're dealing with loss, some of us have dealt with loss in 2019, dealt with some pretty hard things. You know, quite a few have been told that maybe you have cancer or other health difficulties. What do we do when we hear that news? Do we get angry? Do we get upset? What would happen in our life, transformation, that if we go to Jesus first? When he was distressed. You know, a lot of times in our life we get stressed out, we get nervous about something that's going on in our life. How about if we go to Jesus first? Ask our good friends to pray for us, to help us. I love church. I absolutely love church. I've dedicated my life to the church. My whole life I've been a part of church. I look forward to seeing people that I haven't seen in a while. I look forward to seeing our youth, even though I saw them on Wednesday. You know, I look forward to seeing our kids. You know, I look forward to seeing you guys. The the biggest thing is, the best thing I love about church is it feels like a community. It feels like a community of people that care about each other. When you hear the word community, what comes to mind? What comes to mind when you hear the word community? To commune, to care, what else? Friendship, what else?
To gather.
Acceptance, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
Strength in numbers.
Strength in numbers, yeah, that's great.
Encourage.
Now you guys are chatty. This is good. Definition of community. Looked it up on Google because that's what you do, right? Definitions are a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. Two, a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. I like two. But one word that they don't add is love. A feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, a place where people love each other, interests and goals, that share common interests and goals. We have the same characteristic in common. We're here to learn about God. We're here to be with other believers. We're here to be encouraged with our faith, in our faith. And there's a feeling of fellowship here for sure, but how can we actually love? How can we love better? And to me, true community doesn't happen automatically. That even joining a church doesn't mean that you're never going to be lonely again. I think there's that misconception about church that, hey, I'm going to get to know whatever we have here, 150, 180 people, that I'm never going to be lonely because I've got, you know, that many people that I hang out with every Sunday, right? But I'll be honest, I felt lonely many times throughout my life. But that just shows that I have to put work in. That I have to be intentional about getting to know people, and I could do that better. True fellowship takes time, it takes work, and I think this is one that, as I've been praying, that I really want to encourage those, is courage. I think we need to be praying for courage for people, because sometimes people have such a hard time even putting themselves out there. Maybe that you're worried about rejection. Maybe that it's actually fear. We need to be intentional about building relationships. Are we putting the work in? Are we being radical about loving God and loving others? See, the problem with loving is that it's actually unnatural for us. It's human nature to think of ourselves first, which is sad. I realized this very quickly after we had kids, after Kim and I had kids. We realized how you know, selfish we could be, right? You know, you're used to, you know, doing whatever you want, and you know, hey, I could go out all day. Let's go to, like, we were living in Logan Lake at the time, and we could go to Kamloops or go to Kelowna, and then we had kids. No fault to you, Noah, okay? We love you, okay? Okay, he wakes up. He has to have a nap at 11. He has to have a nap at 4 or whatever. Goes to bed at 7. So you got to work your schedule around, and that's pretty selfish of that little boy, right? But real relationship happens when we place the needs of others before our own. There's a story that's kind of stuck with me. I haven't really shared it much. When I was growing up in Malacqua, there was a guy that was kind of coming to our church once in a while. It was a really small church, maybe a church of like 25, 30 people. And I remember this fellow had a really rocky marriage, and My dad spent a fair bit of time with him, and I remember one night we were at home, I think we just ate, and I remember my dad getting a phone call, and I remember this quite vividly, and my dad said, or the fellow said, hey, I was just in a big fight, and my wife threw a boiling pot of coffee on me, and burns on his back, and all that kind of stuff, and the thing about Malakwa is you're about 45 minutes to the doctor, and I don't know if he went to go get checked out first, or he just came to our house, and my parents nursed him, and they really took care of him, and I remember he stayed there for a few days. Here's a guy we didn't really know, but my parents showed that love and care. You know, they thought of him before themselves. I can think of countless times, you know, in ministry that either my parents or even you know, we've had people over at our house for meals at Christmas time, and you know, some of you have done that too, and that just shows love for people, right? Love isn't a feeling. It's a choice. It's an action. It's a sacrifice. How many of you like the 80s, 90s love songs? Yeah, some of you, right? Some of you are like, where is he going with this? Jacob's like, yes! All right. You listen to the words of these love songs, a lot of them say, I need you. I want you. I don't know if you're anything like me. I like listening to music, and a lot of times I don't listen to the words. I'm like, oh, this sounds really good. And then, you know, Jackie comes by and says, hey, do you hear what that says? I'm like, no. And then she tells me, I'm like, oh, I had no idea, right? I need to be more aware of those things. But in 80s, 90s love songs, you definitely hear it, right? I need you, I want you. And this doesn't sound like love, does it? It actually sounds like lust. And real love focuses on how we can serve others, not how others can serve us. Love is the opposite of being selfish. Let's strive to be a church that desires true koinonia. Koinonia is a Greek word for fellowship, and this means to be committed to each other just as we are with Jesus. Real koinonia happens beyond the talking and the studying together and into deeper levels of serving together. Serving is an act of love, an act of love to God and to others. Are you applying what you learn here? Are you applying what you're learning in your life group? One guy I really enjoy talking to here, and I didn't tell him that I was going to be sharing a story about him and his family, are the Payettes, Miguel. And Miguel is one of our locksmiths in the community and just a really great guy. And just love how he leads his family. And one thing that him and Monique do, who leads, she leads worship as well. One thing they do is they volunteer at a soup kitchen together, and they're showing their kids how to serve others that have made bad choices, others that are just having a really difficult time. And there they leave super encouraged, right? People, you know, the people that are down and out encourage them in their faith. Isn't that awesome? They get it. Serving together brings like just some unique opportunities. Just like you really feel like you're doing something together. Really builds relationship. One ministry we started in our in our Elevate group, in our youth group, is our Senior High Life group. And every Sunday night we have grade 10 to grade 12 students come to our house, Kim and I's house, and we have a life group. We pray together. We plan our youth events for the month or 2 months. And at the end of every four-week study, our first one was on prayer from Francis Chan. And we do a serve project. And so we go somewhere to serve together, and that's a way that we can serve together and build relationship. Plus, we're doing it for somebody that could really use some help, right? That's something that I've been really challenged with from September on, and it was awesome because at this house, you know, we did some yard work and maybe it wasn't the best yard work ever, you know, but our students had such a smile on their face and students were like jumping around in leaves and I got the keys to the tractor, which was amazing. And we're just picking up sticks. And then at the end, we had a time of eating hot dogs together, right? And then we said, hey, let's apply what we're learning and let's pray for this awesome couple. And there we prayed together for this couple that our students were serving. It was a really great time together. Memorable. My heart is that our students would develop the heart to serve others with the expectation of earning something. And adults, you can show our teens that. We've got a great group of leaders that help out in our Elevate group every Wednesday night. They see, here's all these leaders that give out their Wednesday night with being with their family or whatever other events that are happening. Our students see that, and they see value in that. Same with kids ministry and all the other things that everybody does here. Serving is an act of love. Serving is an act of love. Where do we serve? Where do you serve? We have areas in our church that do need help. One of my worst fears, actually, I'll tell you one of my fears, I'm not supposed to have fears, is that we would have 5 new one-year-olds come to church. Wouldn't that be amazing? It'd also be a little bit scary because sometimes we don't have nursery teachers. Like today, we don't have a nursery teacher. Somebody's in there, but we don't have a nursery teacher. So we've had some, you know, you have ebbs and flows of there's cancellations or there's people that, you know, step in that role and then they step out. But we are in need. We need like 2 nursery workers. You know, we follow plan to protect. You know, there's criminal record checks, all that kind of stuff. So we don't just say, hey, I'll do it. And, you know, we make sure we have guidelines for that. But if that's of interest to you, or there's many other things and ways that you can get involved in the church. You could talk to Sandy, talk to one of our staff. But I encourage you to get involved because serving is an act of love. It's a great way to show that you love God and others. We love God by loving others. Did you know that?
Amen.
People are important to God, and they should be important to us. Loving others is evidence. It's an evidence that we are followers of Jesus. We should develop relationships with many different types of people in order to practice loving others. Develop relationships with many different types of people in order to practice loving others. We must choose to love, not choose who to love. It would be so easy for me to go around this room, and I'm going to ask a question, And with this question, you and I will be really good friends. You and I could be BFFs, all right? How many Canuck fans here? All right. Whoever put up their hand, we could be best friends. You and I, like, I could focus on you guys because I know, like, hey, like, we've gone through some hard times. Like, serious. We won 7 games, and then we lost 9-2. Come on now. We lost 5-1 or whatever it is. Some of you don't care. I shouldn't care as much as I do either. But they won. Anyways. You know, that's interesting to me. I enjoy watching sports. I enjoy talking about sports. I enjoy coaching sports. I can focus on those who have the same interests as me, for sure. But there are so many others that have great things to offer. Maybe it's time for me to start hunting. I'm not a hunter, but I was going to show some pictures of the Fugles' Instagram, being inspired, how to skin a deer and stuff like that. It's a little bit gross, or, you know, sorry for bringing that up, but maybe hunting. I wouldn't mind to hunt if somebody wants to take me. I don't want to just do it by myself, whatever. I can hike more. I can, you know, we bought bikes here, stand-up paddle boards. I'm like Bambi on ice on those things. No word of a lie. I'm terrible on it. But one of my best memories was my first few months here, maybe first year, I went out with Josiah and Spencer, and we were floating kind of down the river there, and as we're floating, or I'm kind of sitting on the board as I'm going, because I don't want to stand because I'd end up in the water. Josiah's like, "Hey, you guys hungry?" And I'm like, "What?" Like, and he pulls out this like dehydrated meal. It's crazy. And then he's like boiling up water. And then if you know me well, you would know I'm a little bit of a germaphobe, right? So like, even like sharing a fork, I could share a fork with my wife. That's fine. Anybody else know? But here we are, we're sharing a fork and we're passing around this food and we're eating, we're having a great time and we're just talking about life. And I don't know all the things that we're talking about, but it was just such a great, great time where I got to know these two guys and just like why God brought them to the church and how they became good friends. And I was just really thankful for that time with them. Was I pumped about going paddleboarding? No. But I was like, hey, I'll just do this because I'm going to take one for the team. Woo! There's another group that I'm a part of. We meet every second week on Tuesday mornings at Timmy's. And I want to encourage any... We call it... we put dudes and breakfast together. And we called it Dude Fast, okay? So we've got this group that meet Tuesday mornings, and there are a lot of great people like Pastor Dave and Russ and Kaylin and Don, and I'm going to forget some names, so sorry, Chris. And the last one we had before I was sick, the last one, but we had 8 guys who ranged from the age of 19 to about 70. 19 to 70. We've had a great time of getting to know each other and just sharing testimonies of how God has worked in their lives. And you hear stories even about maybe marriages falling apart or you know, relationships or whatever happened in their life. And it's like, wow, you have no idea the things that have happened and how they've stepped, how they've gotten out of those things and how God has been a major part in their life. I encourage you, if you're not a part of anything, that you'd come out and join us this Tuesday at 7:15. Coffee's not... Oh, I shouldn't talk about coffee here. They'll be there. Dude Fest, all right. Hey, we can have a ladies' version of it. That'd be awesome. Let's start it. Church planting right here. Let's do it. But we have quite a few church life groups, okay, ladies? We have quite a few church life groups here. We have quite a few church life groups here. Real groups that have koinonia, that have great fellowship. I really encourage you to take courage. Take courage, join one of these groups. Yeah, we've got guys' groups, we've got women's groups. We've got some pretty amazing leaders here that just and groups that just do some great job. That you'd pray and learn and that you'd have true koinonia to serve together. In closing, Rick Warren says that God's love for us gives us the reason to love others. First John 4:19 says, we love because God first loved us. We love because God first loved us. God's love for us gives us the reason to love others. 2, God's love in us gives us the ability to love others. I think these are so good, I'm going to read twice, right? God's love in us gives us the ability to love others. And God's love through us gives us the way to love others. God's love through us gives us the way to love others. John 13:34 says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love another. I'm going to ask our band to come up. You know, the Comox Valley is watching how we love one another. Your neighbors are watching how we love one another. Your family is watching how we love one another. You may be the only picture of Jesus that people will see. How can we make that count? Who do you have in your heart intentionally to build a relationship with? I just want you guys just to bow your head, and I want you to talk to God on this, because this is important stuff. Who in our surroundings, who in our life, where can we intentionally build relationship with? And I believe that word courage, some of you really need that. Some of you really need courage. And with nobody looking around, I just want to ask you, how many of you would need courage today? How many of you need courage? Just put up your hand nice and... Yeah, quite a few. I just want you to take some time with God and just say, hey, God, who's somebody in my life that I can build a relationship with, I can build a friendship with? Lord, we thank you for our church. We thank you for these commandments, Lord, that you have given us, Lord. Lord, that you impress on our hearts those that we need to build relationship with. And Lord, that you would help us to take us out of our comfort zone when there's times in our life that Maybe we don't feel like we want to, or we're too busy. But Lord, that you would help us to love, that you would help us to spend time with you, to take that time with you. And through that relationship, that flowing of our relationship with you, that we would, that would flow into us building relationships with others. Lord, that you would place people in our mind, that people in our heart, Lord, that we could share life with. Lord, we pray for courage this morning. We pray for those that just have a real difficulty of putting themselves out there, maybe due to rejection or just maybe extreme stress, anxiety. We just pray, Lord, that you would help them, that you would show that you're with them, that you would show that you're guiding them. Lord, that you would give them the right words to say. Lord, that you would help our church, Lord, that we would radically desire an amazing relationship with you, God, and that you would build relationships. Let's radically love God and love people this year. Who's with me? Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.